Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about The Magic Serpent.
1966.
All right.
So, first off, in my head, I thought this was the Manda movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's a completely different Chinese dragon.
Oh, it's completely different. Everything's yeah. about this movie is different.
This is, you know, often, you know, you when we talk about a movie, you immediately get into this movie's nuts, and this is the most time I've felt that. Now, this movie is nuts.
Okay, for me, this is two movies. Well, the first movie being Super Inframan, where it's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie being Daimajin, where it's boring.
Wait, you're saying this is a meld of the two movies?
I feel like the first 10 minutes, first of all, the first 10 minutes of this movie, I just have a bullet pointed list. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes of this movie is amazing.
Yeah.
And then the middle, they're kind of boring, but they throw some interesting stuff in there.
And random stuff.
Yeah. But I was, like, my notes, I don't have a lot of notes. My notes are basically centered around the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. There's some stuff in the middle that's kind of cool. But this movie is weird.
Yeah.
Did you do any like research on it? Like, did you look at like, were you so confused you started looking up stuff?
I saw a thing that it's like, it's based on there's a popular folklore story about these people.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like a revenge story about, you know, the guys, his father's killed and by the bad samurai and the whole, and they're returning for revenge. And it's confusing as to like, if he turns into a toad, the other guy turns into, like if they turn into him and they fight as them. But like, I think in the original story, they're like a small serpent and a small toad fighting. And this is just basically took it and amped it up to like 1,000.
Since we're kind of recording a little bit closer than normal, I've already started grabbing images and stuff for the website for this movie.
Yeah.
And there's a poster or a lobby card or some sort of artwork for this movie. It's a photo and it's the good guy and the bad guy on top of the heads of the monsters and they have their swords out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the main thing, like, is that they're controlling them. But in the movie, it looks like they become them.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's one of the issues of this movie, that it becomes ambiguous as to what is going on in that scenario. I also, there was a, when I was also Googling it, there was a podcast that's called Nerd Lunch, and they discuss it, and they also address the confusion of that, and they also talked about a picture of the main hero guy on top of the toad in a heroic pose.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember seeing him riding that toad.
No.
And so I started kind of like scrolling through the movie again, trying to see if maybe I was looking down writing notes during that, and I don't see it. But if it basically was created for the promotional stuff, I get that. So
yeah, it would have been amazing to have puppet people on top of kaiju. So my first note is the bullet points, and I just wrote down the first 10 minutes.
My first note is ninjas! Exclamation point.
Yep. My first note is ninjas versus samurai. We get a giant serpent. There's Godzilla and Mothra sounds. There's blood. There's a kid's song, a flying wizard, and decapitations.
Oh, you're going too fast. You're going too fast.
All of this stuff is in the first 10 minutes. Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Let's talk about this movie.
Okay, so there's an attack on this palace or this house or whatever this is.
It's like a...
And he's like, "What? There's a hustle and bustle." And then in comes the guy. He goes, "Oh, you've been betrayed. you're being attacked. And he's like, who betrayed me? And he's like, and only I can tell you what his name is. It is I, Yuki Daijo. And he slices him.
Yeah.
They grab the kid, make the escape. And then the dragon comes out chasing him.
Yeah,
the
not dragon a serpent, costume... right?
What?
He's not a serpent.
No, it's a Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a dragon.
Okay.
And it is an amazing costume. It is basically a kaiju costume with a crazy-ass long neck that someone has to puppet like a marionette because a person's head does not get that long. And it looks so cool.
It's amazing. And at one point, the actor is swatting his arms around, and the puppet head gets in the way, and he smacks his own face. Here's the thing. Here's a problem I have, and it's not a big problem, is that the serpent who in this artwork that I saw was named Drago, hold on. I'm gonna look this up. I should have saved that picture so I could just have it on deck. Because do you have the names of these kaiju?
The monsters?
The monsters' names.
They were basically okay. Giant toad, giant dragon, and giant spider.
Okay. So this is what it comes from. This photo I post, or I'll end up posting, but you'll all see it. It's got the two guys riding their kaiju, and then it says Froggo and Drago, and their samurai friends have a friendly little fight in the latest Japanese monster epic. So Froggo and Drago.
Froggo, wow.
So, I mean, that's clearly what I'm going to be calling him.
Wait, so your problem? Okay, but you're setting up that you said this is a problem you have. So what is it?
Oh, is that Drago? Is the bad guy and looks way cooler than Froggo. Froggo kind of looks like a bullfrog mixed with Barugan from Gamera. And for a second, yes. I thought it was the Barugan suit, and luckily I was wrong.
You know, something else that a guy had pointed out that I didn't know about this, but in samurai movies, it's a common trope that when the bad guy and the good guy are essentially running at each other or in their face-offs and stuff.
They take tiny steps?
No. It's that the bad guy, he runs with his sword in front of him, and the good guy runs with his sword behind him.
Oh.
And it's also kind of, you could see that in this still you sent me. Like, the bad guy uses the sword in a sense to also kind of be his shield as he runs in for the attack, but it's more valiant that you're unafraid to face him directly with your own body when you go after him. And that's part of Froggo.
So the giant serpent, I don't know if we want to get into his powers yet, but okay. So the
giant now, when you say giant serpent, you're talking about the dragon.
Oh, yeah, Drago.
Okay, so it's like, okay. Okay. Sure.
So the Drago takes out the boat where the kid and his family is trying to make their escape.
Yeah.
The boat gets taken out, but the kid gets picked up by some sort of flying eagle thing.
A giant bird comes and attacks the dragon.
Yeah, I don't think we really get a good shot of this bird.
Hits a vein because he gushes blood.
Yeah, Drago?
There's also this thing where Drago is, they did a little, like, almost like a little special movie thing, but it really kind of looked bad, is they would do, like, this flash from, like, his mouth to his eyes, mouth to his eyes. In, like, still pictures.
Yeah, and he uses the exact sound effect of Godzilla.
Exactly.
It's not just like, because I didn't mention it last time, but Varin kind of has a Godzilla-esque roar, but this is just full-on Godzilla. And the bird creature that saves the boy definitely makes Mothra sounds.
Right. And apparently the spider does Ebera sounds.
Okay.
And the toad does Rodan.
Okay.
These are all part of the American release. They have their own roars.
But they got changed up for the
Original movie, but they were changed when they were released in the American.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay, you mentioned the blood. Yeah, that's great.
You don't get a good look at the bird, which is great, because you don't get a good look at the bird at the end either. And and then, yeah, they take the kid away, and then opening the credits.
With the song.
With kids singing the song.
Yes.
And I start thinking, wait, is this a kid's movie? I mean,
because I just saw a dragon with blood shooting out of his mouth.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. But as the movie can, by the way, the singers who sing this song, their name are Young Fresh.
Young Fresh?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a band? Is it a?
Could be the Young Fresh.
Is it an established group?
You know, it's really hard to Google Young Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
And find information
on this group of kids from the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So saying like, is this supposed to be a kids movie? Because yes, it's violent. And yes, there's a boring part in the middle, but the stuff that happens in this movie, the stuff that makes us say this movie's nuts, are exactly the kind of movie I would have loved as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because right out of the gate, right after the credits, you get the flying wizard. And I'm like, what?
Well, you get a whole montage of the guy growing up.
Oh,
you
yeah.
See him as a kid. And there's a great bit where the wizard throws a stick to the kid, and then the guy who catches it is him grown up as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, go ahead. Flying wizard. Yeah. This is good. This type of the flying samurai sword wielding thing. I think in the Nerd Lunch podcast they talked about, this is like either the first or one of the first movies to actually do this. This has become a thing now in these movies. Like, especially is like what Hong Kong cinema has done in this similar type of vein. But this is like one of the first of, like, you know, that, like, that jumping across and you see their legs fly up in the back and then they land again.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, when you remember that this movie's from 1966, it's a pretty great achievement.
Yeah. The dude, so this dude gets attacked by ninjas in the woods. And,
well, first he gets attacked by his own master because it's the whole thing how the student has now, you know, been able to defeat the master. Guy is just walking in, and then all of a sudden all these knives just start coming flying from all out. Over the place.
Yeah.
And then fire. And then he finds that he's beaten the master. And then the master makes a reference to his first student, and none of us are surprised who this guy is.
No.
There's so much of this, like, oh yeah, my first student that ended up turning to the dark side. The same thing with the woman who shows up and she's like going, I'm looking for my father. He was a student here. And we're all going, we know it's going to be that bad guy.
Yeah.
That we met earlier. He has to be him. So, you know, we're like waiting for that moment to happen to be like, oh yeah, not surprised at all.
Our hero.
We need herbs tonight or we'll ruin the stew. Okay, go ahead. So the ninjas still haven't arrived because then the master is going to walk off, but he's like going, I don't know, there's
someone's watching us.
People are watching us.
Yeah.
And he just throws his knife at a mountain and keeps walking.
Yeah.
And then
a dude falls from
out of the dirt, bursts a guy who just got stabbed.
So good.
It's so good. Okay, so now the guy gets attacked by you. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. He gets attacked by ninjas, please. There's too much.
It's surprising.
There's so much stuff that's like crazy. I'm like, I don't want to leave this part out.
It's he's getting attacked, and there's this great fight in the woods, and our hero gets his head cut off.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like,
well,
clean off.
First, there's the guy who he's falling from the tree, and he kind of flips around, the guy lands on the knives that are sticking up out of the ground.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, okay, so he gets his head cut off with a big boomerang.
Yes. He said, well, he misses the first time, and then he says, this next one is not going to come back. And throws it, and then it cuts off our hero's head.
And I'm and it lands on a log conveniently.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a second, hold on. Because we had just watched Varian, where we thought we were following one set of people and they died. And this one, I'm like, wait a second, hold on. So this kid's just going to die in the first 10 minutes? And then, no, he doesn't.
Because he laughs.
He has magic, but I still feel like, I don't know. It's so weird.
Special magic. This is the kind of stuff this master has taught him. How to survive without your head on.
But he luckily he learned
attaching it later.
He learned this before learning about dodging knives. Because the dodging knives was like the last lesson. Like, you think dodging knives would be the first lesson.
I think it wasn't the last lesson. It was like his last... No, the test was defeating the master. Yeah. But throwing knives is a big part of this whole movie. So then the headless body throws a rope. The rope just wraps around the tree four times and traps the guy.
Yeah.
And then he
grabs the head.
The best part is that the body does this thing where the body waves the head over to come jump back up on the neck.
That's right. And then he starts off backwards and he spins it around the correct way. The effect looked really cool.
Yeah. It was like, it's a great classic, like blue screen kind of effect.
Yeah.
It's like, do you remember, did you ever see, the Conan O'Brien bit when they would drive his desk?
Oh yeah.
And when they would get shot,
they would just put green,
they would put green dots on each other. So they'd have holes in their bodies.
My next note is kind of normal for another 10 minutes.
Master. The woman's like, she's when he says, we'll ask my master. And he's like, your master? And he's like, no, he's really old. He couldn't be your father. So Orochimaru comes as a snake to the old master. And I was like, ooh, a magic serpent, perhaps?
So is that the magic serpent?
I don't know. I think the magic serpent is probably supposed to be the sea serpent.
Drago?
This definitely is like, seems like a title that was tacked on. I mean, if you look at the magic serpent, the poster is Drago.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's what
they're... I can't wait to talk about that fight.
Doing with this. The old man's onto it. Uh-huh. And then this is kind of where we kind of find out that Orochimaru is the dragon.
Yeah.
Because the bird cut his face, and supposedly Orochimaru has a scar. Because I guess I can see that scar.
Oh, okay. I didn't put that together.
And Orochimaru is going to return this scroll to... I don't know, we keep calling him the master. I don't know what else you call him. And so he gives him the scroll, and the scroll wraps around his hand, turns into a snake, bites him, and then he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
A lot happens in that sequence. Right before the master dies, he kind of like tells... I gotta look up that guy's name. Because I just keep calling him... our hero or whatever. He's got a long name. And he, like, the final scroll, like the final thing to teach him is the ninja invisibility. And I'm like, that's gonna come back later when there's gonna, that's probably be a real crucial moment that it's good I now have ninja visibility. Ikazuchi Maru, I guess. One of the problems with these movies is when you're trying to reference them in the in like IMDb, you don't get pictures of them a lot of times unless they're in like the original Toho movies. Oh, the other thing was like when I was looking at the list of you know, when I was looking at the different characters' names so I could reference them. Oh, no, wait. It's, that's it. It's Ikazuchi Maru. Is that there's a character called Spider-Woman?
Is that the character's name? Is it the main girl? Because she summons a spider.
I'm wondering if it's... Because there's two girls in it. There's two women in it.
Yeah.
They're Tsunade, and is the other one Spider-Woman? I don't know. That's all she's kind of like... I guess that's her claim to fame for this movie. She's the one who calls that spider.
A flying spider with foam. This, he goes to town.
And... Oh. There's also, oh, sorry.
No, wait.
Because there's also, in addition to the old master, there's also like an old white-haired woman.
Oh, that lady.
Yeah, and she's like, she knew the master, like, back in the day. Like, she was like, he was an old companion, and then she's asking her, like, oh, because that's the woman's mother, right? And The woman who's looking for her father. And she's like, did he tell you anything? He was kind of like, did he ask about me? There's a great part where then Orochimaru is talking to Yuki Daijo, and he's like, and Yuki Daijo's like, why didn't you kill him? Because, like, his whole bit was that he was supposed to kill Ikazuchimaru because he has a claim to the throne, essentially. Like, he says, I lost the chance while I was murdering the old man. He was out killing my men.
And then he says, we need more men. And then he says he doesn't need more men. And at that point, I was like, oh, he's gonna summon this magic serpent.
Okay.
But he didn't.
Oh, I guess it's a secret that he's the
Drago.
Yeah. To, like, most of the world except for the magic making, you know, the magician's world, like the old master.
Oh, okay.
He knows. So then we get Ikazuchi Maru, kind of, he's headed towards that
kingdom,
you know, that kingdom of Yuki Daijo, and he runs into an old man and his daughter and her son.
I don't remember.
Anyway, this part is kind of like Superman, the old Superman movie, mm-hmm. with like him lifting the cart.
Oh, yeah.
It's like saves and lifts the cart, and he throws the stick so the cart doesn't hit the boy, and then he lifts the cart. Then there's a random guy in the bushes who sees this happen.
He's like the authorities, right?
He was just there the whole time, just hanging out in the bushes. Yeah, and it's like, they're the guards. That's like the law. He's like the guard there, and his job is to hang out in those bushes in case any weird stuff happens.
Yeah.
Because it looked like he might be a bandit. Uh-huh. Well, I guess... Or maybe it's just, I mean, I guess right now in this kingdom, the bandits are what the law is, I guess.
Yeah.
They're in charge now.
Just a bunch of thugs.
And this whole thing of them catching the guy and then the old man saving him by coming up with that, this guy is the husband.
Oh, he's my son-in-law.
And he's big and dumb and he's super strong. And why did you be strong? And he starts beating him to save him somehow. And it's this whole performance. And it's like going, what is going on?
Why can't he just sneak into town? He can turn invisible,
and
right?
Then they catch him again. They spot him. They figure out who he is. And the ghost of his dad shows up.
That part was cool.
It turns black and white. The whole thing turns black and white. And I mean, what's happening?
It turns,
and then
there's like a lady ghost with the
And
she looks creepy. She looks like these blacked out eyes.
I'm guessing it's his wife from the opening.
I guess.
And they're on horses, and they show up for a second just to kind of be like, ooh, and then they're gone again. You don't know. It's like it didn't do anything. They just kind of showed up and be like,
It was cool though. It looked neat.
Yeah,
the black and white.
It's cool. Don't get it, but it's cool. That's the kind of most of this movie.
And then he creates a hoop trap.
Yeah, he draws it with his fingers into the air, and it throws this basic halo on top of him, and that holds him, and it sparks electricity.
It's like very Doctor Strange. Remind me of Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Is this the fight where the dude starts, like, reaching behind his back, and he's throwing stuff, and you realize that he's throwing ninja stars? Like he stores ninja stars in the back of his shirt or something?
Oh, yeah. There's cool. Tons of throwing knives and ninja stars in this thing. there's a whole bit where he's inside that house.
Oh, with the doors and or the
he
walls?
He starts getting suspicious of the sliding doors. And so starts throwing knives at all of them. And he throws knives at all the doors. And then the doors get real mad. And they come in and start attacking him and surrounding him.
They're like,
and they start spinning around in a circle like one of those zoetropes.
Yeah, I always thought it would look like the MCP from Tron.
Yeah.
That looked cool.
And then it turns into like one of those magic tricks where like the person gets inside a box and you keep shoving swords into it.
Uh-huh.
And because like he's not that.
I like that part a lot. It didn't make any sense, but it's like they have like the force, but also like magic spells and you can talk with your head unattached from your body.
Yeah, that Nerd Lunch podcast, they did talk a lot about like things that kind of made you feel like it seems like perhaps George Lucas saw this movie at some point.
Yeah, I heard things like that, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Yeah, I think mainly like maybe like secret relationships and like maybe the Force so much.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've seen like a Kurosawa's Hidden Fortress.
Uh-huh.
And that's totally like Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were to take like all those movies, like they say, like Wizard of Oz and stuff, and mash them all together, yeah, you can make Star Wars out of it, but I don't know. Like, I don't even know how we came across this movie. But then, like, George Lucas to be able to see that in the 60s, I guess he would have been like a kid or something. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So she finds her dad. She meets her dad, and he turns out he's Orochimaru, and it's like, oh, great. Yeah. And he's like, did he touch you? And he basically tells her that she needs to poison him, and she can't do it. And she has a companion with her. She has this guy, Momobe, who's kind of like the helpful bandit.
Uh-huh.
And, the other thing is she keeps not going through things and being like, just kill me instead.
Yeah.
I can't poison. Why don't you kill me instead? And then
I almost thought she was going to stab herself when she
keeps
couldn't figure out.
Be like, no, me. Do me.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about I have a note on how great the actor who plays Orochimaru is. The Ryutaro Otomo.
Uh-huh.
His look, his face, uh-huh. Such a great villain face.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's good.
He's definitely evil. Like that's why also there's no surprise that he was the bad guy. Like as soon as he showed up.
But you know what? Again, and this is sorry, but again, to keep referencing this other podcast, but the fact that there's a guy talks about whoever their guest was is really into ninja movies, and he is the protagonist in his favorite ninja movie.
Oh, okay.
Just called something like Owl Palace or the Palace of Owl or something like that.
Hmm.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Big monster fight.
Yes.
Is it time?
Okay. Can I say that this dragon, Drago, has a really cool power. It may look weird because we haven't seen it before.
Wait.
You want to talk about that?
No, because we'll get there. But okay. the first guy who comes in is the toad, right? No,
the dragon shows up first.
No, the dragon shows up.
And then the toad comes out of the
dragon's just breaking things. But the way the toad comes out of the building,
uh-huh.
It's so great. It's like, let's go clear. Oh, it's kind of like when Animal grew really big.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, rah, and then he just shows up. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
I just the entrance of the toad I thought was brilliant.
The dragon shoots water out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Which could be, look like spit, but like as far as powers go, it's pretty cool because if you think about it, it's instead of just a guy in a suit, if this was a gigantic thing, he could just go flood places.
Yeah, and it also kind of makes him in a way like an un-dragon. We are so used to dragons spitting fire. And it's like, oh, yeah, watch this. I'm opposite Day Dragon.
Yeah.
I shoot water. And it's also because the toad squirts fire.
The toad is screwed.
Breathe. He's like, oh, it's fire. It's classic fire versus water.
Yeah, yeah. And when the spider showed up, I kept thinking, okay, what's the rock, paper, scissors of fire and water? I don't think I figured it out. Yeah. Or foam. It was foam.
Yeah.
It was an interesting look. Like, I did not expect, the last thing I expected to see come out of a kaiju's mouth was like a fire hose amount of water. And I really, at first I was like, this is stupid. And then I was like, oh, but imagine, like, you could flood whole villages by doing that.
It is, but it's also interesting, the notion of he just has, like, constantly can spontaneously generate water.
Yeah.
I kind of do.
It looked kind of gross because I just thought it was spit.
Yeah, and it's also, I think it's just because, like, so this, like, the toad fire in this is the way that Gamera spits fire, where it's essentially, it's like a gas hose, just light, and just shoot like a flamethrower, mm-hmm. as opposed to like atomic breath, which is kind of like an animated thing. And then the same way, it's like, okay, what other hose, what else can we shoot through a hose? And that's kind of where the fire comes.
Just going back to the water thing, because I'm obsessed with it. Like, I don't think we've seen a lot of kaiju that shoot liquid. I think a movie we haven't reviewed is Reptilicus, and he shoots like a green sort of goo out of his mouth.
Okay.
But, like, it would be interesting to, I don't know why there isn't more that do it. And it would be cool if, you know, you can change up the color. Like, what if it was shooting out blood or something? Like, make it like super gross.
Oh, yeah, that could be cool as an effect. That I'm surprised actually they didn't do more of that. Where, yeah, you could do that or shoot like something that you then can paint in like a more like a fluorescent color or something like that. Any kind of colored thing, the way I guess the same way you would do, yeah, the different colored bloods and the different kaiju and stuff. You could have done that as like this is like his poison or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, there's not a lot. It
comes out like a fire hose.
But, yeah, when I saw Dragon, or when I saw Froggo shoot his fire, I was like, well, he's outgunned, which is kind of nice.
I do feel there is, it does look like the dragon has the upper hand against Froggo.
Uh-huh.
There's also, like, that shot in the wide shot where, you know, Froggo kind of gets knocked back off the wall and it just starts tumbling down into the water.
Oh, that was one of my favorite parts because at one point, since Froggo's a crawling kaiju, you know, we just see him crawling around. At one point, the actor stands up as he's falling down that cliff. It looks like he just kind of is like, oh, screw this. And just like stands up before they cut away.
Catch himself. Yeah.
Like he was out of character for a little bit. But, usually we like kind of the, you know, these kaiju like destroying a city. This was more like just this village was sort of like a kind of just an arena for these two monsters to just like go to town and just start tearing stuff down. There's a part where Drago gets shoved into the giant building and it doesn't quite get crushed, so it just grabs the roof and throws it. So they're just kind of like, just go for it. Let's just do as much damage as we can to the set. And then the lady summons the spider and it flies.
Almost crashes into the building.
Yeah.
It was very precarious. The puppeting of that spider.
It was no Kamunga.
No.
Did I get that right?
I think so.
Okay. The monster versions kind of come to like a stalemate or something, I guess. Once the spider shows up. So now it just ends up with these two guys on the beach fighting each other.
Yeah.
And you know they get in a couple of good shots and stuff, but they do that thing where they run towards each other and they both like are stabbing away and we don't know who got hit, but we know someone got hit. And of course it was the bad guy, falls
right
into the water.
Yeah. They do a few of those. Yeah. A few passes at something like that.
And then the hero wins and him and the girl ride off on the bird.
Yeah. And that part is a little hard to to follow, because you kind of see like what looks like a little bird, and then it's a close up, and you know they're on the bird because there's like feather
in the foreground
around them, but you never get a good look at the bird. It kind of like they kind of shot their wad on giant toad and giant dragon. That like bird and spider kind of fell by the wayside a little bit as far as production quality.
It did that thing like in Giant Claw where it was kind of out of focus and small, and he was like,
they're like, trust us, he's on that same bird.
Yeah, there's some definite clever editing going on.
So, okay, Froggo, what's with the butt spikes? He had a one big unicorn horn in the front.
Yeah, like bear
almost gun. almost like a party hat, and then a bunch right in the back around his butt. Maybe that's like natural defense, so you can't sneak up on him.
Yeah, I'm just looking at pictures. Well, here's a picture of him on top of Froggo.
Oh, speaking on top of, what about Orochimaru riding the flame lightning thing?
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
It was like cartoony.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like the George Reeves Superman.
Oh, and yeah.
It's like kind of silly. Yeah, I don't know what's up with the butt spikes. I'm just looking at pictures. Yeah, it's only back there.
He's got to look tough. Yeah. Yeah, he's got one spike in the front and then a various bunch of spikes all there.
Maybe it's based off a specific thing. Froggo's so goofy looking.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, like, because, like, Drago's got, like, antlers.
Drago's definitely the cooler of the two. They both have big cartoony eyes, which make them look a little bit silly.
The frog's eyes were really cool. They had, like, a sheen to them where, like, they had, like, a little green and reddish. Like, it was, like, different colors.
I think overall, I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah,
I mean the stuff in the middle was kind of a little bit slower, but and I was afraid because I was like, oh no, is this gonna be another Daimajin? Because the monsters don't show up until the last 10 minutes. Luckily, we get a glimpse of them at the beginning though, and the whole like first 10 minutes is just so bonkers that I was like, it kept me entertained. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. It was on the same level of weirdness as Inframan. Where you just kind of have to go with it. But
yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, as far as, like, Daimajin goes, this is way more entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of wish maybe just take, like, the 10 minutes of monster footage from this and the 10 minutes from the previous two Daimajin movies and make those into a big movie. But there's some other cool stuff in this, I guess, that's just weird. But, yeah, it just reminded me of Daimajin because it's samurais versus ninjas pretty much the whole time. But
right,
the supernatural stuff was way more fun.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot. It was a lot of fun. There's definitely this kind of like appealed to, just like the idea of it kind of made me like, oh, I kind of wished I'd seen this as a kid.
Yeah,
on like on an afternoon movie type of thing. Just like I would have eaten it up.
Yeah, me too. You want to talk about next episode?
Sure.
All right. Next time, we're going to be watching The Monster That Challenged the World, 1957. Looking forward to watching that. You should also be able to check it out on kaijupod.com, where you also have links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And I think that's all I have. So I'm looking forward to that. Until next time.
Shall we fight? I loved him when he said that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's good.
I love the little samurai runs. I don't know if it's the cloth that hangs over their legs, but it looks like they're taking little tiny steps. The dude, the bad guy, when he was running along the beach, the way it was shot, the angle, it looked like a little kid running.
Yes.
I like that. I was just picturing little kid samurais fighting each other on top of their froggos.
Oh, you know what's really fun? When I was scrolling through, because I was trying to find that thing of the guy on top of the toad, I was watching, I was looking at the movie on my computer, but I was playing it at 5x speed, and the kaiju fight at the end is amazing at that speed.
Oh, at 5x?
It is so good. It is so it's so much fun.
I'll have to watch it. It reminded me of the was it Danny and the Dinosaur?
Uh-huh.
Little kids sitting on top of the dinosaur head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need guys on top of a kaiju. I don't know if that exists anywhere. If someone knows of a guy riding a kaiju head, let us know.
A head?
Riding on the kaiju head?
On the back of the head. Like riding on the neck like a
or
like
anything.
Frankenstein Jr.
Yeah, there was that one Godzilla movie. I think it was Godzilla.
Wait, does the kid ride that robot?
Johnny Sacco?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he goes inside of it. I forget. Like Voltron, not Voltron, Transor Z.
Yeah.
But I want to, like, I'm looking at the picture from this movie where they're, like, riding on top of the heads and, like, commanding these creatures. And they're clearly not the right scale, but still. That sounds so cool. Because usually we're trying to destroy kaiju, but to have someone, like, commanding one sounds like fun. And I'm talking, like, Mickey from, like, the 90s era Godzilla where she can, like, communicate with Godzilla. But, like, full on, some sort of, like, kind of like Avatar, where they, like, linked up their hair with the dragons and can, like, command them. That, but giant monsters. What I'm saying is I want to ride a giant kaiju. That's all I want. Either if it's a saddle or I could just balance on his head or whatever. Or just carry me around in that Mothra basket. That'll work, too.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Go on some Mothra rides. All right, let's get out of here.
What, are you going to do it to next time?
Oh, yeah. Until next time, I'm going to go grab my head off of this
I'm gonna
stump.
I'm going to throw knives at this mountain, just in case.